Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm here with the awesome Robert Sickles. My name is Kinda Kiefel, and this is the Cold Open Mini number 38, in which we are discussing the Snyder Cut, part 6, Something Darker, in which Superman lands and speaks and takes his sweet ass time to do everything. Robert, first impressions, overall opinions.
So I really dislike the way Superman is treated in not just this film, but the other films in the recent iteration of the DCU, which I've made pretty clear in an earlier podcast. But let me just say, it was amazing to me that when Superman returns to the Kansas farm with Lois Lane, that entire sequence is in the magic hour. Like, it doesn't change. Like, it's just a beautiful, balmy red and purple dusk for the entire time. And he hangs out in the cornfields and there's the Superman theme, which I actually quite like, but the Superman theme that plays. And it just is a moment. Like, obviously this is an entire CGI extravaganza, but it's really a moment where you notice what has to be CGI for a scene that we don't normally associate with CGA. That we don't normally associate with CGI, and that it's the sky. The sky and the placement of the light and the sun. And it shouldn't look like that for the entirety of the scene, but it just doesn't change. So it's like time is stopped at this perfect moment while Superman cavorts in a cornfield during the magic hour. So it is Superman by way of Terrence Malick,
Days
of Heaven. Like, that is the look of it. And I just think it's, I don't know why it bothers me. It wouldn't bother me if it wasn't so heavy-handed and used so frequently, but that moment, so it started bad and then kind of got worse in a lot of ways, which is no knock against this. These all end with a battle, right? They just do. That's the way it doesn't matter what the superhero movie is, but it's typically the least interesting part of the film.
Yes, agreed. Oh, that is such a great point about the sky, though. I do have to tell you, seeing the farm is profoundly, like, pre-verbally comforting to me. And him even looking through a real window, there is something strangely grounding about it, even though it takes forever, and putting on that flannel helps him remember wandering and petting the leaves. But you're right, it is the descent, lit as beautifully as possible with a Cavill's chin doing a lot of the heavy lifting. But I do love the next portion, in just, thank goodness for Barry's enthusiasm for the Batcave. His face is some of the only signs of life in the next 40 minutes, I feel like. And I would love to hear what you have to say about, so why do we, when we hear Batman have that sort of psychic dream premonition situation, we're to understand that that is the epilogue, yeah? Is Batman a psychic dreamer? Like, what was your take on that little tiny detail that when they're in the Batcave?
It alludes to it, right? Yeah. I mean, it alludes to it. And then
Lois Lane.
And then we believe that we see it. This chapter of the 7 is total complete gobbledygook, and that kind of goes part and parcel with comic book movies, or at least it can, but it gets really convoluted and they're trying to explain what they're doing and how they're doing it and the science involved or the magic, whatever you want to call it. It's just I just tuned out after a point. It's like, what are they talking about? And I don't even care. Like, obviously, they just stop the Unity and kill Steppenwolf and be done with it.
Yes, which the Unity is oddly so positive sounding too, right? But I kept losing track of what the Unity was because it sounds like what they're doing. There was this lack of both clarity and chemistry that there were little tiny points. The most chemistry I feel like we get is between Aquaman and Cyborg when he says, "My man." And it's like, that's like these little tiny sparks. Whereas we watched the amazing Thor Ragnarok last night. And every piece of that, I feel like you track the action, you feel the feelings. It's so funny. It's so tight and well-written. And the way the momentum drives even to the final battle was such an incredible contrast. I understand that it's very different styles, but at the same time, we still need signs of life. No matter what, it can't all be like stormy skies and chaotic action, right? So that final battle, as you said, I'd love to hear more of your thoughts as far as the way that was paced, momentum. What were your feelings?
So it's good and bad. I will say, and I've always thought this about Snyder, his action sequences are really easy to follow. And they're not Michael Bay. They're not a mess. They don't cut in such a way where you don't know where you are. He's got a really strong hand with action. It's clear to see where people are and what they're doing and where they're going. And I appreciate that, especially like in our contemporary moment of the way these things are often kind of unintelligibly edited. So like from that technical standpoint, I enjoyed what happened and there were some kind of fun moments. But the thing that separates a really kind of excellent technically proficient scene from a scene that moves you has to do with what comes before, and you have to earn whatever that payoff is. And I don't know what the heck possessed me to do this, but I watched Endgame this weekend, which I haven't watched. Well, I actually watched all 23 now Marvel films over the pandemic, but I hadn't watched it in probably 3 or 4 months. But obviously it's a similar story and it leads to they need to do a similar thing, but it is really emotional. Like the way that ends and what happens with Iron Man and everybody's reaction to it is really devastating. And even the epilogue, which we'll get into when we get to that, like the thing with Captain America is so cool and so perfect. Like, so there is all this stuff where they really built character in a way that you like the characters and understand them and feel for it, that makes the battle scene, which is also like wonderfully technically proficient and linear and easy to follow, it makes it so that it's not just battle. I don't get burned out on it in the same way that I did in the Snyder cut, where I just was like, it's so dark, it's so heavy-handed, and I just don't have the same kind of emotional investment in these characters, so I didn't feel the same thing about them, other than I really like the Flash character, obviously Barry Allen's character, and I have to say that I thought Momoa was just killer in this section. He is Aquaman by way of Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Not only it's like my man, but he says, all right, at one point in time. And he also says, badass. Yes. When he walks in, like it was comic relief. And I don't know if that's left over from the Whedon touch or whatever, but I appreciated it in the otherwise really dark, heavy vibe of this scene.
Absolutely. No, that's true. That's true. When Superman shows up and he's like, all right. It is a very McConaughey vibe. Those contacts look painful that he's blinking into, but he is really powerful in this. I think it's his best sequence, right? And his there is an emotional investment that I kept kind of waiting for, because even knowing that Steppenwolf is taunting Wonder Woman with saying that her sisters beg for their lives and she feels that, it just had a strange sort of distance and emptiness. And I was waiting so many times. The most feeling I got is in Barry's lovely sort of inner monologue as he's traveling the speed of light. I really didn't like that he started talking to his dad and saying, I was the best dad. But I did love make your own future, make your own past. That part was like the most feeling and really lovely, as well as Cyborg telling the sort of three demon goddesses, I'm not broken, I'm not alone. That was little tiny bright spots in what was otherwise, kind of a hard sequence to get through, right?
And the longest sequence, right? It seemed, I don't know if it actually was time-wise, but it felt like the longest.
It's the longest by 1 minute.
Oh, gosh. Was, okay. Yeah.
But you're right. Yes. So thank you. Well, I so appreciate your thoughts. Any last additions, Robert, before we move on?
Well, just one thing that kind of sets us up. First of all, I do really love, there's a Kirby-esque tableau in this that the Marvel movies obviously did at various times as well, where you just see them all frozen for a moment in time. And it looks like this wonderful Kirby splash page. And I love that. So I was pretty excited to see that. And then the other thing that I just wanted to say that this kind of sets up is the first of many, or maybe the second, depending on your point of view, but the idea that there's going to be a sequel, and it's with Darkseid and the anti-life equation, which is set up. And I think you could also argue earlier when we see the pregnancy test in Lois Lane, in Lois mm-hmm. Lane's drawer, that is a possible, maybe that's the same sequel, right? But that sets up for a possible sequel as well. So that is kind of the first thing that leads us into the epilogue.
Yes, very good. Yes, very, very good point. You're right. It's so laying the groundwork. Oh man, I love that freeze frame when they're all flying alongside the bat vehicle, not necessarily the Batmobile, but yes, absolutely. Freeze frame awesomeness, or slow, super slow-mo, right? Well, thank you, Robert. For Robert Sickles, this is Kinda Kiefel, and this has been the Cold Open Mini number 38. Thank you for coming.